me? Yes, Lisa. Is the water warm enough? Yes, Lisa. Shall we begin?
And you are listening. You're listening to 90.7 WGXC Acra Catskills. Today, East Durham.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Anchorage, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear about a protest planned for Wednesday, July 20th in the morning at the Dunn Landfill in Rensselaer County. The permit application is up for re-examination now, and people in and around the facility don't want it spreading dust and debris into the air anymore. It's across the street from a local high school. We'll hear all about that from Christine Kielb of Rensselaer Environmental Coalition, talking about their protest tomorrow at the Dunn Landfill in Rensselaer County. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon.
You can find all about the Hudson-based circus, the Bindlesiff Family Circus, on the WGXC community calendar. They're hosting the Bindlesiff Circus's Summer of Joy 2022 in Hudson with five different programs for youth ages 6 through young adults, including circus art intensives for youth and participation in the Hudson Black Arts and Cultural Festival Parade. Also work on costume design and fabrication. They host the Hudson Juggling Club at Waterfront Wednesdays in Hudson, and a restorative justice facilitation training with the Hudson Youth Center and the Restorative Center of Newburgh. These programs run from June 29th to August 24th. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Round Top Productions in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Mike Goodwin reports for the Times Union that the National Weather Service confirmed over the weekend that an EF1 tornado caused some of the damage when thunderstorms swept across the Hudson Valley on July 13th. storm brought wind speeds of 90 miles per hour and traveled for about a half mile in an area 2 miles to the west of Kingston. Thunderstorms moved across the valley, leaving many utility customers without power. The tornado hit around 8:49 p.m. and was approximately 300 yards wide. The Weather Service reported the tornado touched down near Route 29 between Davis Street and Hillside Drive. The tornado moved southeast to just west of the New York State Thruway, crossing a subdivision where it uprooted and snapped trees, displaced a car canopy, and removed some shingles from a house. The storm produced widespread wind damage across parts of eastern Ulster County, including Kingston, Hurley, and Marbleton. Hail from the storm stripped leaves off the trees. In Lenox, in western Massachusetts, the windstorm reached 85 miles per hour, topping the hurricane strength standard there, according to the Berkshire Eagle. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Robert Gabin is reporting in the Times Union that former town supervisor of Prattsville in Greene County, Corey O'Hara, pleaded guilty July 18th to pocketing nearly $25,000 in storm aid allocated after the destruction of Tropical Storm Irene. O'Hara pleaded guilty to federal wire fraud before senior U.S. District Judge Frederick Scullin. He faces a maximum of 20 years in prison or as low as 0 to 6 months behind bars, and he agreed not to appeal any sentence of 14 months or less. And O'Hara must repay $24,915 in restitution. The August 2011 storm decimated Prattsville, destroying many buildings in the town in a rush of floodwaters. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Diane Pinero Zucker reports for the Daily Freeman that the New York State Police have missed the deadline it set to indicate whether the agency would comply with the Daily Freeman's request for records under the state's Freedom of Information Law. The request for the name and rank of all state police personnel patrolling in Ulster and Greene counties is still awaiting a response, despite multiple asks since December 2021 and a recent administrative appeal. The Freeman's original correspondent asked for, quote, a record of complaints, lawsuits, and investigations and their outcomes, including written and video records of such outcomes, whether or not they resulted in disciplinary action or reprimand from 2019 to the present, unquote, from Troop F, Zone 3, under the state Freedom of Information Law. Troop F, Zone 3, patrols Ulster and Greene counties. Initially, State Police Major William H. Gorman said the request had been forwarded on to the appropriate official in the agency. Disciplinary records for police, firefighters, and correction officers in New York have theoretically become more accessible since the repeal of the state civil rights law in response to nationwide demands for transparency concerning police records. To date, the Kingston and Saugerties Police and the Ulster County Sheriff's Office have complied with the same request. Ultimately, the state police said the ask was too burdensome. In response, the paper made more limited requests for the names of troopers who patrol the region. Town of Ulster police have also failed to comply with our Freedom of Information request for a record of complaints, lawsuits, and investigations and outcomes since 2019. That request was submitted in February. An appeal has been filed in that matter, but no response has been received to date. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Ariel Zangela reports in the Daily Freeman about the fundraising totals reported by various Hudson Valley congressional candidates for the Federal Election Commission July 15th deadline. There are several elections being voted on August 23rd and in November for Congress. First, Democrat Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan and Republican Mark Molinaro face off to fill the final weeks of the term of Antonio Delgado, who resigned from the 19th congressional district seat to become lieutenant governor earlier this year. Ryan is also running in a Democratic primary that same day for the newly drawn 18th congressional district seat against Moses Mongalusi. The winner of that election faces Republican Colin Schmidt in the general election. Josh Riley and Jamie Chaney are also in a Democratic primary on August 23rd for the new 19th congressional district. The winner of that election faces Molinaro in the general election, even though he does not reside in the new 19th congressional district. Molinaro reports he raised $1.5 million since announcing his campaign at the end of 2021 and has $1 million on hand. Ryan says his campaign raised more than $1 million in just 2 months and raised, and I quote, more money in 6 weeks than Molinaro did in 6 months, end quote. Mongoloosi did not provide information about his campaign fundraising to date. Schmidt, a state assembly person who resides in New Windsor, reported raising more than $340,000 in the second quarter of 2022 and says it has more than $600,000 cash on hand. Riley's campaign says it has raised more than $1.2 million since launching last November and has more than $790,000 cash on hand. Cheney's campaign said it had brought in more than $500,000 since launching just over 5 weeks ago. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that the Queenstown Board unanimously approved a bond resolution to build a new town hall. The resolution permits the town board to construct the building at a cost of up to $7 million and to borrow a maximum of $4 million to pay for it. The July 14th vote starts the clock on a 30-day period during which a member of the public can submit a petition to put the project out to a permissive referendum, possibly triggering a public vote. The plan is to demolish the existing town hall at 18 Russell Avenue and replace it with a new two-story, 12,000-square-foot building on the same lot. Once construction is complete, the old building would be torn down and a new parking lot would take its place. The board opened the public hearing at its June 23rd meeting and continued the hearing during its July 14th meeting. Town board member Stephen Schmidt asked about the estimated $6 million cost of the project and if there were less expensive options. Quote, are we comparing Cadillac Escalades or is there a Honda Pilot version of a town hall, unquote, he asked. McHugh said the town looked at several options, including upgrading the current building, leasing space in the existing Village Hall building, and building on another plot of land within the town. The board determined, in conjunction with the project's engineers, that building a new structure would be the best option. McHugh said 30 town employees work in the building. Residents use the building daily, and there is a need for a new building. He pointed to mold and leaky pipes in the current town hall, which was originally an American Legion post. Additional public hearings and a finalized building design are expected in the coming months. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Noah Zweifel is reporting for the Altamont Enterprise that the Albany County Department of Soil and Water Conservation District is giving the town of Westerlo a $30,000 grant to restore the bank of the Basic Creek where it runs through the Westerlo Town Park. The town will add riprap, a barrier of loose stone, to between 300 and 400 feet of the riverbank with the worst of the erosion. Westerlo Supervisor Matthew Kryzak said, and I quote, this grant allows us to try and keep as much of the park as possible. There's a lot more work that needs to be done to protect the park and the erosion of the stream bed and things of that nature. But this $30,000 grant is an excellent start, end quote. Read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Tuesday, sunny and hot with a temperature high near 91 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 67 degrees. And on Wednesday, sunny and hot with a high near 94 degrees. And Wednesday night, a slight chance of showers after 3 a.m. It will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 72 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air on 90.7 FM on Tuesday, July 19th, including at 10 a.m., Justin Maiman is live in Acre for the Ginger Radio Hour at 10 a.m. Then tune in to early composers on the Early Electro Mix show this week featuring works from Nino Nardini, Charlemagne Palestine, and Edgar Varese, among others. At 3 p.m. it's time for the Radio Art Hour. At 4 p.m. it's time for the WGXC Afternoon Show with Randall Martin live from Hudson. At 7 p.m. it's time for Kimberly Irwin's Race Talk Show. This month she is speaking with Zanetta Graham, the Vice President for Education and Corporate Compliance Officer for Upper Hudson Valley Planned Parenthood, and Nakia Tillman, the Family Support Specialist for the Early Education for the Trinity Alliance, co-chair of BirthNet, both based in Albany. That show is at 7 p.m., and it's called Race Talks with Kimberly Irwin. At 8 p.m., we go live to Catskill with Ukuleles Unleashed, and at 10 p.m., we're live from Columbia County with Dan Seward and the Battlefield Earth Program on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
One way you can help community radio station WGXC during our summer pledge drive is coming out to attend some of the events we have lined up for you. On Thursday, July 21st, the two Wave Farm artists in residence, Aaron Dillaway and Victoria Shen, perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Tune in or turn out Thursday, July 21st for this performance. You can buy merch there from the performers and merch from WGXC that benefits the community radio station. And Wave Farm in Acre will also be open to the public on Saturday, July 23rd and Sunday, July 24th during Upstate Art Weekend, where several dozen local venues will be open to the public to tour for the see art and hear art, and Wave Farm is one of them. You can come out and purchase a hat or a hoodie or a T-shirt or a mug or get a bumper sticker for WGXC and enjoy performances from Wave Farm artists in residence Aaron Dillaway and Victoria Chen in the afternoon on Saturday, July 23rd and Sunday, July 24th. Tune in or turn out these performances and help WGXC during our summer pledge drive at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Thank you.
Ocho, seis, uno,
tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC. A show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, 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 radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wave Farm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, July 19th. Coldest spot this morning is over in Preston Hollow, coming in at 65 degrees. Over in Stockport and Kingston areas, thermometers are showing 70 degrees. And so is the soil, coming in at 70 degrees. By the time you hear this, though, I am sure there will be a serious departure from those numbers. Heat advisories are already out for Eastern Green and all of Columbia. Sticky all morning, it starts getting real uncomfortable after 10 a.m. The thermometer peaks at 92 degrees at 3 p.m. UV exposure will be high, so protect yourself from sun rays and overheating, and be sure to check on friends and neighbors. Dew points stay up, so even as temperatures come down overnight, it will feel very muggy. Empty those dehumidifier trays. We get a low of 66 and a foggy morning before temperatures rise sharply to 93 degrees with even more oppressive conditions tomorrow. Humid 72 degrees overnight takes us into a hot and humid Thursday with a stormy afternoon and a high of 90 degrees. Friday, still pretty humid with a high of 94, but no rain is currently expected. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:29 a.m., high tide at 8:23 a.m., low tide again at 2:55 p.m., then high tide once again at 9:02 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 78 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:14 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:33 a.m. Looking way up, we see the Aurora Oval has descended to touch the northern borders of the continental U.S. However, it hasn't reached quite far down enough to touch New York. Solar wind speed is currently 478 kilometers per second at 10.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible until dark, then fair below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 125. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. And we have a special request for you today. Even though it's fun drive time, we're not asking for money. If you want to help out at WGXE, your local radio station, and financial contributions aren't quite your style, especially this year, then help us out by spreading the word. If you tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, then you help our reach truly extend beyond our grasp. So, let's unlock some potential. Just steer your friends to WGXE.org and click on Listen.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Amy Rigby of Catskill, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Listen. Donate to the WGXC Silent Summer Pledge Drive at wgxc.org.
We are in need of just a few more sustaining supporters. We need your support at wgxc.org/donate.
We're going solar. That's guilt-free radio.
John, one day, was like, I think we should do a show on the radio about our ukuleles, because we had this ukulele club, and we got together on Saturdays, and we played. And I said, John, that's downright crazy. Who would put a couple of guys like you and me on the radio? Well, turns out WGXC does exactly stuff like that.
Any person listening right now can contact WGXC or contact me on the Monday afternoon show. And if they have something to share, an issue or even just an event or a phone number, you know, a resource for people or a song to play, you know, if they want to have a show, you know, it's a very accessible and participatory station. And I just, it needs to be supported.
This radio station is listener supported. That means you, beloved. And because we are listener supported, not commercial radio, we aren't beholden to any advertisers or any government grants organization, any granting organization. We are independent.
Shh. Donate to the WGXC Silent Summer Pledge Drive at WGXC.org.
My people, what can I say? Say what I can. I saw it, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it, what I saw. Are we gonna live together? Together, are we gonna live? This is your Mr. Senior Love Daddy talking to you from We Love Radio 108 FM on your dial. And that's the triple truth, Ruth. Today's weather, hot! Wake up!
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
This Supreme Court needs to be checked before our democracy gets wrecked.
A coalition of Democrats, including Representative Mark Takano of California, are reviving a push to expand the U.S. Supreme Court. The effort comes after a tumultuous term during which the court's nine justices issued numerous rulings which will shape the nation for decades to come. Expanding the court, also known as court packing, is a divisive issue with opponents on both sides of the aisle, including President Joe Biden. But Representative Mondaire Jones of New York pointed out the high court's size has changed several times since the nation was founded.
This Supreme Court is hostile to basic rights and freedoms, and it is hostile to our democracy.
The House is poised this week to vote on a new bill to formally repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, the 1996 measure defining marriage as being between a man and a woman, which was rendered unenforceable by the landmark 2015 decision in Obergefell v. Hodges. The new Respect for Marriage Act would enshrine the right to same-sex marriage in federal law, protecting it from a potential Supreme Court decision overturning the 2015 precedent. The leader of the U.S. Agency for International Development warned Monday the globe will face a surge in food insecurity in the coming years. While noting there are a number of driving forces behind the shortages, USAID Administrator Samantha Power says the biggest cause is climate change, felt most acutely in eastern Africa, which has been plagued by droughts in recent years.
Today, I am announcing a surge of nearly $1.2 billion in funding that will be dispatched to meet the immediate needs faced by the people of Somalia, Kenya, and Ethiopia.
The Biden administration is stepping in to mediate a dispute between railroad companies and their union workers. In an executive order issued Friday, the president announced an emergency board to reach an agreement. The federal mediators have 30 days to find common ground between the parties, and the workers are barred from striking for the next 60 days. The executive order paused a planned 115,000-person strike scheduled to begin Monday. The State Department is streamlining the visa application process for certain immigrants from Afghanistan. State Department spokesperson Ned Price says the new method will reduce paperwork for those who have worked for and with the U.S. government.
This new streamlined process will help eliminate barriers for applicants and reduce application times. This change does not reduce or remove any of the robust security vetting processes required before the benefit is granted.
And finally today, Dr. Anthony Fauci tells Politico he's planning to retire before the end of President Biden's term. As the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and chief medical advisor to the president, the 81-year-old has led the federal government's response to COVID-19. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Rob Saffer. I create and produce Overlooked, a show for underplayed and overlooked music of all kinds. I'm also a dedicated WGXC listener. I love the other music shows, the news, and the better weather is the best. Because I listen, I pledge. I'm a sustaining supporter. Because community radio matters now more than ever. Go to WGXC.org/donate and donate. Thank you.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Maryland voters go to the polls July 19th for what is likely to be the most consequential election in 2 decades, with races for a new governor, attorney general, and comptroller. Knowing who wins may take some time, as record numbers of mail-in ballots are counted. There are no fewer than 9 Democratic candidates vying for governor, including Tom Perez, former Democratic National Committee chair, and polling shows the race is extremely tight. There are 2 Republicans, with outgoing Governor Larry Hogan endorsing Kelly Schultz, and Donald Trump endorsing the 2020 election-denying Daniel Cox. One of the big stories of the election is the number of mail-in ballots requested and the unique rules in Maryland that don't allow processing of them until 2 days after the election. The Post reports that almost 497,000 mail ballots were requested by Maryland voters and that 16.6% of registered Democrats and 8.7% of registered Republicans requested mail ballots. Ballots must be postmarked or dropped in an official drop box by 8 p.m. July 19th. A close race, the two-day wait, plus other outdated rules which require hand-opening and tabulation of mail ballots may mean results will be days and possibly a week or more away. Democracy can be slow, but when the people are allowed to participate, it's a good thing. More details on the election and how to vote in Maryland are at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pigs are awesome.
I turned it down.
But only dogs can hear. Did you hear that?
No.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Christine Kell, who is the co-chair of the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition, who's been very focused on the problematic Dunn landfill in the city of Rensselaer. On Wednesday, July 20th, they're holding a very early rally. And so we've asked Christine to come on. So Christine, what's the purpose of this rally, and what's the latest news with the Dunn landfill, let's get it closed down effort?
Okay. So this year is the year that the permit for the Dunn landfill is set to expire and needs to be renewed if they're going to renew it. So it's a really important year for everybody who's trying to work against having this landfill continue. The landfill permit is set to expire this coming Tuesday, July 19th. But the DEC has issued a letter to Dunn saying that they can continue to operate while DEC continues to make a decision on the permitting process. And we're concerned about this because we know from other situations, for example, Norlite, that these companies can operate on expired permits for quite some time. So we don't want to see the same thing happening with the Dunn landfill. So we're arranging a protest and rally on Wednesday, July 20th, downtown Rensselaer on Broadway, just north of where the Dunn entrance to Broadway comes out. And we are advertising heavily through Facebook and through our email list and trying to get people's attention to come down here and say, hey, we don't want to have this dump operating one more day past its expiration date. And how long is this going to take? And we're tired of this dump that's in the middle of our city, in the middle of a populated area, and right next to a school.
And I think probably most people in the Capital District have heard about the Dunn Construction and Demolition Debris Landfill, largest such landfill in the state, actually. And seems to be quite a few problems, both with odors and all the noise and the dust from the truck traffic that's been coming in. DEC, claims that they're trying to, get Dunn landfill to, be less of a nuisance. Has there been much progress in, trying to, control the operation of this facility?
Well, I know that they had the landfill put in an enhanced odor control system to deal with the hydrogen sulfide odors that come out of the landfill from rotting wallboard. I believe this temporarily improved the odors, but we're still getting reports from our neighbors in East Greenbush about these odors. So it looks like in their new application, they want to install another section of this. They want to enhance it more. So I don't know if that's going to be enough. So I would say that the odors are maybe somewhat reduced, but they're not entirely fixed. And there doesn't seem to be any fix for the noise and diesel pollution and the dust on the truck route to and from the landfill, which goes directly through the city of Rensselaer, including through residential neighborhoods. I just wanted to point out that our protest and rally on Wednesday will be at 6:25 a.m., which is very early, but it's an important time because that's when the trucks start rolling. They start rolling at 6:30. So we wanted to get everybody there a little early so that they could witness what happens at 6:30 a.m. in Rensselaer every weekday.
Now, I understand at least some of the local governments, perhaps the city of Rensselaer, maybe some of the local towns, have actually formally come out and have asked the EC to, you know, take action about this landfill?
That's correct. The Rensselaer County Legislature has issued at least three resolutions. The most recent one was issued last week, calling for DEC and the governor to shut down the landfill. The Rensselaer City Council issued a resolution last summer asking the same, and the East Greenbush Town Board also issued a resolution. And we've been working for the school for quite a while, and they finally wrote a letter to DEC saying that they want the landfill to be shut down as well. And also Quaestar BOCES committed to writing DEC a letter. So we have a lot of local organizations and county, at the county level, people calling for the closure, but we're really lacking other support from our state representatives in particular.
Now, you mentioned the governor, and obviously the Department of Environment and Conservation, DEC, is under control of the governor. When this problem started, it was obviously Governor Cuomo. Now it's Governor Hochul. Has there been any statements by Governor Hochul about how she stands on this issue? And have any of the other candidates for governor, made any statements about the Dunn landfill situation?
We had a rally in March on June 18th, and we invited the governor to that, and we just got a pro forma response to that. We also conducted a letter writing or emailing campaign a few weeks ago to the governor, and we also put an ad in the Times Union, an open letter to the governor describing all the problems with the landfill and asking for her response. To date, we haven't heard from her. We haven't contacted Mr. Zeldin on this, but that's something that we might do in the future.
So there was a permit renewal up with, DEC. How does that, process work? And I assume you're going to be trying to participate in that process. Any sense what the timeline is? DEC actually, making the decision. I know in Norlite,
the
games they play,
they
don't actually complete the application, which the clock doesn't start until they complete the application. Has the Dunn landfill submitted a complete application at this point?
The Dunn landfill received two notices of incomplete application from DEC. And the most recent one was dated March 30th. The Dunn landfill has conducted one environmental justice meeting. That was last month. They were required to do this by DEC because the truck route borders the neighborhood bordering the truck route was designated as an environmental justice community. So the applicant has to conduct at least two community meetings encouraging participation. They conducted one last month, and they're going to be conducting another probably in the early fall. In between those two meetings, DEC is supposed to designate a 30-day public comment period during which people can submit email or written comments to them. My understanding is if there's enough written comments and there's enough substance to those comments, that there could be a hearing down the road. So this process could go on for quite a while.
Now, you've indicated that other state officials, I assume for state assembly, state senate, haven't really spoken out or made clear what their position on this is so far.
We haven't really been able to persuade either of the state reps to make a statement calling for the closure of the landfill. Mr. McDonald is working with DEC behind the scenes, and he, to his credit, he does meet with us. So, and he shows up at meetings. But we haven't been able to get the same type of response from our state reps as we have from our county and local reps.
So if, you know, people want to either, you know, express an opinion about this or get involved with the effort to, you know, at least clean up, if not close down this landfill, how can they best sort of participate in this process and keep in touch with you guys?
One way is to go to our website, which is just stopdone.org. Stopdone.org. That'll take you to the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition website. We have a couple of Facebook pages. One is Rensselaer Environmental Coalition, and the other is Stop Trucks Assaulting Rensselaer.
We've been talking with Christine Kell. She's a co-chair of the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition. Wednesday, July 20th at the early hour, 6:25 a.m., Dunn Landfill protest. And this has been Mark Dunley with the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
2022 new music there from Matt Valentine's Wet Tuna Project. That's from the album Warping All By Yourself, Sweet Chump Change, on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. That's a 2022 song from the band Glove called Radio Out on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.